listening to South Florida's good news station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
We are raising the standard of excellence.
This is Gene Hilton bringing you the Apostolic Dimension from Spirit of Prophecy Ministries. We welcome you to our program, Raising the Standard. Revelation 19:10 says, "Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." So with this spirit, let's take a close look at the last days and the coming millennium from a Jewish messianic perspective. There's a great difference between the messianic Jewish understanding and the common Christian interpretation found in most end-time books. Christians over the centuries have separated themselves from their Jewish roots, causing many misunderstandings of key Jewish biblical idioms, therefore missing the true interpretation of many scriptures. We can better understand both the Old Testament and the New Testament by rebuilding the bridge to Judaism and learning to embrace its tradition and worship of God. This does not mean that everyone should wholly convert or become Jewish in lifestyle and religion. Rather, I believe a Christian can embrace and respect Judaism by learning to think in Jewish terminology and honoring God's appointed times, the Jewish festivals, which truly explain the elements of the Christian faith. So join me today as we open the Bible and study God's prophetic foreshadows to teach us about Jesus the Messiah. Let's walk in His footsteps and receive His revelation. Well, good afternoon. This is Pastors Gene and Donna Hilton greeting you to our program again on another Saturday afternoon, and we welcome you to this program. We've been on 17 plus years, and Donna and I co-pastor a church here in Stewart. We have for 22 years Spirit of Prophecy Ministries. We welcome you to this program. If you've never been on this program to listen to it before, we hope you'll have ears to hear what the Spirit of God will tell you today. But you that listen all the time, we trust that you'll be blessed with this again as we're trying to reveal some things to raise the standard of the body of Christ. And we should all be aware, if we're in the body of Christ, that the last of the last days are getting close, right, Pastor Don? We're coming down quickly, fast, to the last days. So we wonder sometimes of so many events in the Bible that we see that people don't look at it that way, but they should, how the pattern, prophetic implication to something that's going to happen in the future. And so, you know, the last couple of weeks we've been talking now the book of Esther, because we're in the time of Esther and what happened with Mordecai and all that. And we covered a lot of that last week. And last week we started from the end of the book and kind of worked forward till we got to the point where they cast lots over there with Haman and all. Boo, we boo when Haman's name is mentioned. And we went from back to the beginning. And today I'd like to kind of just delve into some more prophetic implications that a lot of people don't realize. And Lord showed me this a long time ago. And I've only heard of one other man that I've read on, that maybe there's somebody else that's mentioned some of these things, but this is incredible to look at the prophetic implications in this book. And as we talked about, we know that Esther, the book of Esther, God's name's not mentioned on one page, but yet He's on every page. This, the Song of Solomon's the same way. His name's not mentioned on one page, but He's there. Hallelujah. So we're going to do this. Before we begin to teach this today, Pastor Don has got a couple of announcements, and we got a special event today at 5 o'clock that you might want to talk about. So Pastor Don, if you go right ahead and tell them what you want to know about today.
Well, I want to say hello to everyone.
Amen.
And those of you who listen every week or listen to us on the internet, the podcast. Amen. Like Pastor Gene says, we've been on here for quite a number of years. Right, Pastor Gene?
Yeah, we have.
Right. So I want to say hello to some special friends, Roscoe and Audrey, apostles on Andros Island of the Temple of God over there, and they're getting ready to do the same celebrations.
Hallelujah.
That we're doing, and
that's
teaching
right.
The people on Andros Island about Passover and about
and Purim, as well.
Purim and about,
right.
Well, there's a lot of things to talk about in
that's
this
right.
month and next month. The solar eclipse, we'll be talking about that.
That's right.
We'll be talking about the blood moon.
Hallelujah.
There's a lot of things to talk about.
Yeah.
If this is your first time, I know you're going to be blessed. And also, I want to let you know that we're on the internet, so you can always listen to us. If you happen to be traveling, you're somewhere else, and or you live somewhere else, and you're just visiting down here, maybe you're trying to get away from the snow.
Yeah, a lot of them down here now.
My Facebook said that there was 49 states had snow.
Wow.
Snow the other day, and I thought, wow. So a lot of people are probably coming to Florida, you know, because Florida's the one that does not have any snow.
That's right.
So, praise the Lord. So, anyways, I was saying that we're on the internet. It's WCNO.com. You just go to www.WCNO.com and you can listen to us there. And there's also programs that we've done in the past on the podcast. You can go there and listen to those. And that's a blessing also for us. And we also have services here in Stuart, Florida.
Thank you, Lord.
Praise God.
We have meetings, don't we?
Meetings, right? Meetings on Friday night. We have Friday night Shabbat at 7 p.m. And Sunday at 10 a.m. we have our service, our meeting with God.
Hallelujah.
As Pastor Gene calls it. Praise God.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Because we do go to meet with God and
that's
to worship God.
Hallelujah.
And the name of the church is called Spirit of Prophecy. And it comes right out of Revelation 19, verse 10. So it says, worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the Spirit of Prophecy.
Prophecy. That's right.
Hallelujah. Well, I want to mention today, this afternoon, we do have a Purim program and a meal. And that's going to be at 5 o'clock. Anybody, and most of the people we already know are coming, but if you happen to have nothing else you want and you want to go, you'd like to come, you're welcome to come. There's no cost. It's free.
They can sit on the teaching, can't they?
Yes, and they can also have some food. Amen.
Right.
So it's a Purim feast, and that's at 5 p.m.
So
this afternoon.
Yeah.
I also want to mention that the following weekend on Saturday and on the 14th and 15th, we have a prophet, a doctor, Bree Keaton. She will be here with us and teaching on the glory of God.
Hallelujah.
And she's a teacher. She's she ministers in many, many places.
Around the world.
Different countries,
yeah.
Around the world.
Mm-hmm.
She feeds and takes care of pygmies in Africa.
Hallelujah.
That's an awesome ministry.
That's right.
She's a doctor, professor.
College.
She teaches in college,
mm-hmm.
in Kansas City. She's really an anointed, awesome woman of God who carries a sword.
I mean, a real life sword.
So come, she'll
it's
be
like
with us.
It's like a battle axe, amen.
She'll be with us on Saturday, on the 14th, and that's at
3 p.m.
we're going to 3 p.m.
Right?
Mm-hmm. And then also on Sunday, for our Sunday meeting, she'll be with us
at
on
10,
Sunday,
huh?
the 15th, at 10.
Amen. We're looking
so
forward to
So we have
to
all
coming.
Of these things coming up, and of course, then you might want to mark on your calendar that we will be having a Passover Seder, and we will be have limited seating.
That's right.
And because it's such a powerful time of the year, and we've done it quite a few
years now. Yeah,
now,
we have.
So that's going to be, you need to call and make reservations for that for sure. And that's going to be April the 4th, if you'd like to come. That's the blood moon, Pastor Gene.
First day, that's right.
That is,
Passover is the blood moon again.
That is the blood moon. It'll be Nisan 15.
A lunar eclipse, hallelujah.
The blood moon.
That's right.
Boy, there's a lot of things. There's a lot of things we could talk about the blood moon this week, but we're going to be talking about Esther. Our phone number here is area code 772-285-7007. That's
Amen.
Area code 772-285-7007. I wanted to let Derek know we're praying for him.
That's right.
Man of God.
Yeah, I got a real good friend out there I'd like to say hello to. His name is Harley. So
Harley,
we say welcome to the program, Harley.
Hi, Harley.
We appreciate you listening in, okay?
Oh, well, we have some people, you know, you haven't said hi to Mike lately. He's in Fort Lauderdale. He's teaching, you know, he has his course, your course that
That's
you're going
right.
to be sharing from
mm-hmm.
today.
Yeah.
And you do have your commentary open to the part of Esther. And this might be a good time just to remind people about your commentary. Pastor Gene has done a commentary, and it's $25 plus shipping and handling, about $3, I guess, $3
yeah,
for that.
$3, yeah.
And it covers all of the feasts of the Lord.
Amen.
It covers Purim, which we're going to talk about. It covers
Hanukkah. Yeah.
See, some of these aren't the feasts of the Lord. There is the seven feasts of the Lord. So it has all those. And then it has Esther and Hanukkah, and then we have Daniel, some of Daniel and Revelation.
Two lessons on Daniel, yeah.
And you have a one on the end times.
That's right. A lot of things.
It's really powerful. It's really powerful.
All your Jewish roots.
And we need it. And the first one, the first lesson really is on the calendar.
Right.
And we need to know the calendar. See, if we just don't say, well, this is March. Well, it's not just March.
That's right.
We need to go by the prophetic calendar, the Bible's, God's calendar.
Right.
God has a calendar, and he talks
mm-hmm.
all the way through the Bible. He says, he gives us numbers, he gives us names, and he gives us months.
And dates.
What do most Christians do? They just read it and figure it was just history, and it's not important.
Not apropos for today, in
but
other words.
But it is most definitely apropos for today.
Sure
and the
is.
Reason people don't know where we're at on the prophetic calendar is because they don't know the calendar.
The months and how it relates with the lunar.
On God's prophetic calendar, right. They don't know the calendar. And we need to know the Hebrew calendar. And that's another thing we offer, and there's no charge. If you would like, I make a calendar every month, and it has a calendar like March, then it also has the Hebrew days on it, and it has the numbers on it, and it has Adar. And see, this month is a month of Adar and Nisan, because in one of our months, like March, you might have two of theirs, and most likely, most times you do. Every once in a while, it'll just be one month, because they go by the moon.
That's right.
By the moon. We go by the sun.
Yeah.
But everything God does is by the moon.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. So if you'd like a copy of that calendar, I would just suggest you just send a self-addressed, stamped envelope, and we would be glad to mail it back to you. Amen?
Right. Amen. So we're just going to share some things with you today. I think it'll probably maybe stir you up with a little more study and all that, because we have all these patterns in the Bible, and God just didn't put these in here for something to be said, like it was a story. People talk about them being stories. They're not stories. They're events that happened in history. And we mention on this program all the time, the most important event that ever happened in history up to this point was when Yeshua died, rose from the grave on the third day. That's it, in his passion. So we want to talk about some important things. And so we have all these things that God wants us to know. And, there's a word in the Hebrew called sod, spelled S-O-D. It means there's a mystery, a hidden thing down underneath some of the verses. And also, there's another word about a remiz, which is also leading something to something that's unknown that God wants to be brought forth. And we know that over in Matthew chapter 13, verse 52, the last verse of that chapter, that Jesus spoke to his disciples and told them about a householder that had goods and things in their house. And he says, out of that household, what do? They bring some things out, what? New, and some things old. And so we have to go back to the beginning, to the ancient path. We really can't tell the end from the end, like a lot of people want to do. But there's patterns we see in the prophets and all that shows us some of the events that's going on right now. But we have to look at the beginning to find out how it's all going to end. And even the season we're in right now, thinking about, here we are, Purim. Look at all the stuff that's going over there with Iran. You know, Iran, that territory, the land, at one time was called Persia, okay? So we have all these things are going on to kind of stir people up and wonder what's going on. But if we understand the Word of God, I think we can get some clarity in some things, and we'll have no fear come on us in any way, shape, or form. So we're going to talk a little more about Purim. Now, last week, some people call it Purim, because sometimes the I's are pronounced as an E, but it's Purim, okay? That's Pur means the casting of a lot. So we've talked about this the last 2 weeks. And last week I told you, we mentioned we started from the end of the book of Esther and worked forward up to the time that the lots were cast. But I want to do some prophetic things today. I mentioned this last week vaguely, but I'd like to talk about it a little more. If you're at home and you got a Bible, I want you to go to Esther chapter 5, and we're going to look at the first 3 or 4 verses in that chapter. Okay? Maybe the first 3. All right? So this is what we're going to read. We read out of the King James Bible, nothing else. We believe this is God's inspired word for us today, and we thank you for your truth, Lord. So here we go. Chapter 5 of Esther, verse 1. Now it came to pass on the third day. Well, that ought to quicken you real quick. We're talking about things prophetically in the future. On the third day. Remember, glory be to God, from the time that Jesus went back to be with his Father, there's going to be a period of what? 2,000 years, and in the third day, the third period of 1,000 years, will be the millennial kingdom. So we have a prophetic window right here. Now it came to pass on the third day that Esther put on her royal apparel, listen to this, and stood in the inner court of the king's house over against the king's house. The word against means next to. And the king sat upon his royal throne in the royal house over against, and here's the word against, next to the gate of the house. And it was so when the king saw Esther the queen standing in the court, that she obtained favor in his sight. And the king held out to Esther the golden scepter, which is a what? That's a picture of authority and power that was in his hand. So Esther drew near and touched the top of the scepter. Then said the king unto her, what wilt thou, Queen Esther, and what is thy request? It shall be given thee to half of the kingdom. And so then she asked for this banquet with Mordecai, or not with Mordecai, with Haman, the next day, or that day, and then the next day was another one. So we're not going to go through all that again. Don't help me, Lord, not get mixed up with Mordecai and Haman. All right? So anyway, this is what we're talking about. So verse 1 is very key here. Now, if you look at this real close, think about this. The king here is a prophetic picture of our Heavenly Father, okay, and our Messiah is Esther. And later we'll see that Mordecai, in the end of the book of Esther, is a picture of God's people and how they will be raised up at the end. It's incredible. So look at this with me, okay, with Esther 5. This verse reveals the end of this age as we know it. We're talking about the third day. At the beginning of the third day, which is after the completion of 2,000 years from the ascension of the Messiah, which will be the beginning of the third or 1,000-year period after the death of the Messiah. It's called the Millennial Kingdom. At this point in time, there will be a resurrection out from among the dead and a catching away of all true believers in the Messiah. You notice I mentioned a resurrection out from among the dead. There's going to be a lot of people going to be left in the grave for another 1,000 years because they never accepted the Messiah. When this appointed time comes, we who are in Yeshua, the Messiah, glory be to God, and true believers, okay, when this time comes, we will be put in royal robes or apparel, like Esther did right here, and will stand before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, Yeshua our Lord, hallelujah. Now, even the Bible codes that have been discovered, we mentioned this last week a little bit, reveal two important facts in this verse to show us that God's signature is upon all the Hebrew scriptures. The name Yeshua is found in verse 1. Incredible. All right. Also, the Hebrew word we mentioned last week spelled Nazal. It's spelled N-A-T-Z-A-L is in here, meaning a snatching away or sudden departure. So there's going to be a resurrection and a catching away at the beginning of that third day. You ought to get excited about that. It's incredible to think about that. Amen?
Amen.
Now, so here we think about Esther went into her king, a picture of God the Father, and touched the scepter, which is his authority and power, his righteousness, and because of that, the God King, which is, you know, the King Ahasuerus, allowed her to come into that court and was received by the king.
Amen.
God allowed this. It was his purpose to allow this, knowing what was going to happen at this time. Even as the Son of God was received by his Father, even so, due to the Savior's righteousness, all the saints down through time will one day enter the king or the Messiah's court of honor. Boy, aren't you excited about that? I get excited about that. Glory be to God. So that's a key thing, I think, with in Esther chapter 5. Very important. Now I'm going to turn over here in my Bible to Esther chapter 9 with you for a moment. And I want to show you a couple other things here as well. This is very important, the end of the chapter and all that. I should say the end of the book. Now, think about this now. Glory. In Esther 9:18, I'm going to read the verse with you. It says this. But the Jews that were at Shushan assembled together on the 13th day thereof, and on the 14th day thereof, and on the 15th day of the same day, saying, they rested and made it a day of feasting and gladness. This is important. Now think about it. In Esther 9:18, we have the beginning of another prophetic window into the future, right? It's going to show us something very important. This verse reveals that the 13th, the 14th, and the 15th day of the month of Adar is 30 days prior to what? To Passover. Donna mentioned you need to know your calendar, okay? This is 30 days before Passover, exactly. Passover is on the 14th. But we have to also remember the Passover season is really from Nisan 10, when they laid up the lamb, through the 14th, and also through unleavened bread as well. It's called the Passover season, okay? Now, knowing this is one of the keys to unfolding the timing of another event during the days of Og, the days of Og, okay? Why is it called the days of Og? Because it's going to be a terrible time called Jacob's trouble. It's even called, in many circles, it's not in the Word of God, but it's called the birth pangs of the Messiah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Birth pangs. There's going to be a deliverance. Hallelujah. Now, let's go on. Prophetically, we need to turn to Daniel chapter 12 as we look at this. I'm going to turn over to 12 now. I read that verse with you. And I'm going to go over to Daniel chapter 12 with you and show you something very important. This is very prophetic. So God's put these patterns in the Bible for us, and they're not all in the same place, but we can go back and forth and we can kind of fit it together. It's like a timeline. So we're going to go to Daniel chapter 12, which if you read this carefully, it reveals the last 3.5 years of Jacob's trouble here. No question about it. Passover actually starts, we mentioned, on Nisan 10 and ends on Nisan 14, the day that the Messiah died. But also we know in Jewish understanding, it includes the days of unleavened bread. Well, let's take a look at this and think about it. From the beginning of Passover on Nisan 10, at mid-tribulation, to the Day of Atonement, which is Tishri 10, at the end of the Great Tribulation is exactly 1,260 days, which is the last 3.5 years of Jacob's trouble. Well, the Bible reveals that to us in Revelation. We know there's two segments, each section 3.5 years or 1,260 days on God's lunar calendar, okay? It's divided into those two sections, okay? So this what we're going to talk about is going to reveal the exact day that Yeshua will literally come back to the earth at the end of 6,007 years from the time that Adam was on the earth, if we're accurate. 6,000 years, and then we have the tribulation, and then he's going to come back. Hallelujah. From the time of Adam. According to the Word of God, this Day of Atonement should be the time of the Messiah's second advent to establish his kingdom. Well, we've got several verses we can look at. We have Matthew 24:31, if you want to write it down. Matthew 24:31, Joel 2:15-16. And we also have Isaiah 27:12-13. But there's a lot of others, but these are the key ones, showing that that day has been assigned to Israel, and that, according to the Scripture, should be the day that Yeshua comes back and puts his foot again on the Mount of Olives. Isn't that incredible to think about that? Whoa. Now, think about this. We need now to turn to Daniel 12:11. We're going to read this verse with you. Here in this verse, let me read it first. Daniel 12:11. This is where we get the real prophetic implication here. And from the time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away, and the abomination that maketh desolate set up, there shall be 1,290 days. 1,290 days. Well, we know that these sacrifices we're talking about was required at 9 in the morning and 3 in the afternoon, okay? So it says right here, from the time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away, and the abomination that maketh desolate set up, there shall be 1,290 days. So now we've got an additional 30 days from the two sections of Jacob's trouble, okay? Now, here in this verse, God now speaks about 1,290 days. Since we know that the Great Tribulation period consists of 3.5 years, or 42 months on God's lunar calendar, consisting of 30 days each, equals what? 1,260 days. We now have an additional 30 days to discuss and see what God is revealing to us in this verse. In these last days, God is showing through previous events and dates. This is so important. From previous events and dates, where certain kingdoms attempted to destroy his people, the Jews. Remember, now, Purim is not an appointed time by God, but God remembers when these nations come against his people. As we will see, as we read this and look at this, God is going to use these same dates again to reveal his prophetic plan for what? All mankind. So these are all patterns to show us what's going to happen. So there's a reason why God did this, okay? Now let's go on. Here's a question, right, for you listening. Here's the first question. What do these additional 30 days represent? This is what troubled me years ago when I wrote this book, okay? Knowing that God does not miss by even one day, there's a hidden remez or a sowed here in Daniel 12:11. It states this, and I'm going to read it again. And from the time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away, this will be done in Daniel 9:27. It tells you that. When's that? At mid-tribulation. And then we have a conjunction, and the abomination that maketh desolate set up, there shall be 1,290 days. Now, I want you to notice this. I've just mentioned already. Notice the conjunction and in this verse. It's very important. This reveals there's going to be two events which will happen at two different times. Here it's going to be a difference of 30 days, separated by a period of 30 days. The second event that will happen is the daily sacrifices will be taken away, which was revealed in Daniel 9:27. It says over there, in the middle of the week, in the middle of Jacob's trouble. This will be at Passover, by the way. Exactly at mid-tribulation, which I just mentioned, will be at Passover. Then the scripture says, and I put this in bold letters in my book if I remember right, and the abomination that maketh desolate set up. Another question here again. When will this happen? Purim was established, what, 30 days prior to the Passover season. And since this was another time in Israel's history when a nation attempted to destroy God's people. Now what happened? That's what Haman tried to do, and he convinced the king to even get involved with it until he found out the lie that was there. Thank God he gave Esther and Mordecai the chance to defend themselves, and they took care of it. Now think about this. The Holy Ghost revealed to me that these 30 additional days will be used of God to unveil, listen to this, to unveil something that's hidden, to being brought abroad, to unveil the abomination of desolation. 30 days prior to mid-tribulation, which is, we talk about Nisan 10-14, the false Messiah will go into the temple of God, and erect the abomination of desolation and declare himself to be God. It tells us that in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. This will be the first event which is revealed in Daniel 12:11. Then 30 days later, he will stop the sacrifices during the Passover season. And we can see this in Daniel 7:25 if you want to read that. And also 2 Thessalonians 2:4. God uses the events in Esther's day to reveal a future prophetic event. So let's look at 12:11 again. And from the time that the daily sacrifice will be taken away, okay, this is the first thing, so the daily sacrifice will be taken away first, and then what? And then the abomination to make it desolate will be set up. there shall be 1,290 days. So it's all done right there. So let's summarize this. During Purim, Adar 14 and 15, the abomination of desolation, what will be set up. Then 30 days later, Passover, the sacrifices will be stopped. I think I said that in reverse a moment ago. The abomination of desolation will be set up first, and then the sacrifice will be taken away. I want to keep that straight with you. Okay? Thus, the period of time from Adar 10 to prior to mid-tribulation to the last day of atonement, which will be on Tishri 10 of Jacob's trouble, is exactly 1,290 days. And I just said, wow, God is perfect in all that he does. So if we go from the time that Purim was instituted, was during from the time of Adar 10 and up through the 13th and 14th and all that, if we go 1,260 days, we'll come out to the help me with this, Lord. Glory be to God. Thank Shushaman. So if we look at the time of Adar, okay, 13, 14th, and 15th, okay, that's 30 days prior to Passover. So if we go from Nisan 14 and we go all the way out, we're going to come to the fall appointed times. And so think about this. Adar, even when Adar 10, this was all the battle was going on from Adar 10. If we go out 1,290 days, we're going to come to what? The Day of Atonement at the end of Jacob's trouble. And I said before, I believe this is a clue to us when Yeshua is going to come back and put his foot again on the Mount of Olives. So it's real. It's revealed right here. It's incredible when we think about all this. So it goes 30 days prior to Passover, and then it ends on the Day of Atonement. So there's your 1,290 days. It's incredible. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So another thing I might mention here also, there's another sowed in Esther 9:19 and also verse 22 that you can read. These verses reveal a custom that was instituted at Purim, which was the custom of exchanging gifts. They did that during these days. As we all know, Satan has a counterfeit for everything that God is doing. With this thought, let's go to Revelation 11, 7 and 10 through 10 and notice in verse 10 what it says. This is what it says in Revelation 11, 7 through 10. I'm going to read verse 10. This says this, "And they that dwell or remain upon the earth, which is the land of Israel, shall rejoice over them and make," who's this? The ones that are going to be killed, "and make merry and shall send gifts one to another." Two prophets of God, not false prophets, but the true prophets are there, and they're killed and raised in 3 days. And I believe with all my heart they're going to die on Nisan 14, and they're going to be resurrected to glory within 3 days on the same date that Yeshua went to heaven on Nisan 17. It's all revealed in the scriptures if we look at it. Now here is Satan's counterfeit from the time of Purim, thus revealing that mid-tribulation will be in season of Purim and Passover, just 30 days apart. I believe the two witnesses will be killed on Nisan 10, first day of Passover, and will be resurrected on midday at Nisan 14. Now some people, I've read some things about this, they believe that he's going to die on Nisan 14 over there and then be raised up again on the 17th. But the scriptures really show it another way, and I'm beginning to believe it that way too, that the two witnesses will be killed on Nisan 10, the first day of Passover, really, when they lay up the lamb. And remember, he's going to lay in, those two prophets will lay in the street for 3.5 days and then be resurrected at midday on Nisan 14. That's in Revelation 11, 11, and 12. It's incredible, amen? Glory. So I think about this, thinking about this, without the use of the Jewish understanding, their customs and mannerisms and all that, and culture, we can never fully comprehend God's prophetic words. We must remember that our Bible is a Jewish document. As we continue to look through, you know, his people's eyes and see what he has established through them. Even his plan and purpose for the one new man is all revealed through all this. Glory be to God through his son, the Messiah. It's amazing. We will truly think about it. The Messiah will truly be revealed to the church in a greater way, Jew and Gentile and the Messiah. So this is an incredible prophetic window that we have here and the time and season of the year. This is incredible. And so we know this was not an appointed time by God, but the Persian kingdom came against God's people. What's going on in the Middle East right now, Pastor Donna? The king of Persia, and he's like a king, is coming against Israel and the Jewish people. So here we have a duplication of what happened, a different scenario how it happened. But remember, we talked about this last week. Those spirits do not die. Amen? So even though the Persian Empire was conquered by the Greeks and all that, and the Greeks were conquered by the Romans and all that, that territory, that land, is still there. It has not changed. And the demons that were behind those kingdoms that caused the evil things to be done to Israel and all that, they were released to go out into the world to find someone else they can dwell through. So it's interesting. We think about the Muslims. You know, they had a caliphate in place for a lot of years. In 1924, it was wounded as unto death, like it says in Revelation chapter 17. Didn't die, but just wounded as if unto death. Well, now, since 1924, that ugly spirit is operating through people over in the Middle East, especially with Persia, you know, which now is Iran, lifting up its ugly head and is trying to reestablish what was there back then in the realm of the spirit to destroy the Jewish people. So this is amazing when we think about the patterns we have in the Bible. And so we have to understand, if we can relate what's going on in the world with what the Bible says, then we can put that together and kind of depend on that and say, wow, God, you're showing us something very important, like this solar eclipse we're going to have here on the 20th of this month. And then we're going to have a lunar eclipse on Nisan 14 next month on the day of Passover. It's incredible, all the things that God's revealing to us. And so these are all given to us to show us some interesting things. And so why I took you to Revelation 11 was that was a place where they were exchanging gifts, okay? Well, they did that during Pyramid shortly thereafter also. So that's where would that be? That's in mid-tribulation. It gives you a clue about mid-tribulation. We would think about Hanukkah today, you know. We don't got to talk about but Hanukkah. But, you know, at Hanukkah, the Jewish people, they exchange gifts with family members and give them to their children to compete with a time called Christmas on the Christian calendar. It's a pagan time, but they want to compete with that for their children. So, see, that shouldn't be done, but that's what they do. But the time they exchange gifts was during the time when they had the Feast of Purim. And they did that for years and years and years. So it's an incredible picture here.
Amen.
Just to show us what God's got planned for us. And so not only did Esther show us what happened in her day with her people, but also prophetically it goes out here to Daniel chapter 12 and shows you what's going to happen in the last 3.5 years of Jacob's trouble. And it gives you the exact date. Now if we don't know the Jewish calendar, we got a problem, don't we, Pastor Donna? We have to know the calendar. And if we know the calendar and the appointed times, well, then we'll get a clue from all this. So we have to understand that and understand it in a great way. Amen? So the last 3.5 years of Jacob's trouble will start at mid-tribulation during the Passover season, okay? And then it's going to go for, what, 1,260 days and bring us out to the latter festivals. And we know everything's there. The resurrection will be revealed there. The Day of Atonement for the nation of Israel, and then the establishment of what? The Kingdom of God with the Feast of Tabernacles, and then we even go out to the dedication of the temple and all that during a time called Hanukkah. It's all in the Bible. Isn't it wonderful, Pastor Don? So there's a lot of wonderful things. So that's the prophetic application, but what we're going to talk about this afternoon and all is basically, we might touch on this, but basically this is what happened in Esther's day and all the things that happened. We were talking about Queen Vashti before we came on, Pastor Donna. You know, people might think, well, she was a wicked woman. No, she was a wonderful woman. She was beautiful. She was incredible. But see, the king wanted to parade her through all of his leaders through those 127 provinces and all that, and she refused to do that. She wasn't going to be paraded around. And so what happened? She got dethroned, didn't she? But it wasn't because she was a bad person.
She was, I would say she was an honorable person.
She sure was. I think so too.
And she stood up for her beliefs. She wasn't going to be paraded around. You know, they had been drinking, Pastor Gene.
Oh, yeah.
And they had already celebrated 180 days.
That's right.
Of
6 months.
Partying already.
Right. Yeah.
They had already celebrated all this time. And, of course, our place, our building is our where we're doing this this our room where we're our service room where we're having we're all set up to do this. It's all decorated, you know, with these beautiful colors.
Hallelujah.
Because she had a beautiful garden.
That's right.
And it
we're
talks
have
about
a garden, aren't we? Yeah.
Right in the very beginning, it talks about the garden.
Yeah.
It talks about all the colors, all there was in there, all the different colors, the gold and the silver and the marble.
Mm-hmm.
You know, beds of gold and silver. You know, it was a rich place. They had a lot of gold and. I'm sure that your utensils were gold, and they had beautiful fabrics and curtains and
thank
hangings. They had hangings of purple on silver rings. I mean, you know, it even reminds me about some of the things that, you know, in the temple, how it was so extravagant. Everything
right.
is extravagant. Well, they had taken a lot of the things. They had taken a lot of the things because these people were actually free at this time, but some of them didn't choose to go back to Israel, back to Jerusalem, back to Israel. Many of them just stayed in the provinces they were in. So
that's
there
right.
were Jewish people in all of these different 127 provinces.
Mm-hmm.
I can say it right.
Provinces,
and,
yeah.
Right.
Don't worry.
So that chose to stay. Well, look now. Can you relate this today? there are Jewish people in probably every nation.
All around the world, yeah.
Every nation.
That's right.
And now we're looking at, look what happened over in France. Many Jewish people are now going to return to Israel.
That's right.
That's right. So we're really in, if we're in a parallel time, even though there's years between this time of Esther and the time of today, but you can put the years in there, but what's going on is parallel to each other.
That's right.
It's the same thing.
In the time of the year.
It was a Persian. This is mm-hmm. a Persian
yep.
empire.
You got it.
We're still dealing with the Persian mm-hmm. empire or nations, you want to call it. Maybe they've changed. They don't call them empires or provinces. They call them nations,
right.
countries. So we're still dealing with the Persian. We're probably still dealing even with the same bloodline.
Yep. Same spirit.
And we're dealing with the same spirit.
That's right, boy.
Well, we've talked before, you know, Haman, and everybody will say boo. Mm-hmm. Well, he was hung on the gallows, which he planned to hang
Mordecai
on, mm-hmm. who was a Jew. But so it's the same situation.
Right.
That's a different time, different situation, actually. But it's the same.
Same spirit was behind it.
Same story, basically.
Yeah, to destroy.
I mean, they want is to destroy the Jews.
The Jewish people.
To destroy the Jews. And in
That's
fact,
right.
to destroy anyone who doesn't line up with their beliefs, their religion. So here we have this woman, and they had already been partying for 180 days. That's a big party.
That's right.
That's, what's a half a year, isn't it?
Yeah.
Can you imagine?
180 days is 6 months, yeah.
Right.
In the Jewish calendar.
And so the king... he decides to have, let's just have one more week. Let's just
yeah.
have one more week. Let's just do a big party and one more week. Well, you know, the women were not invited into their party. The women had, the queen had, she had her own party, I might say. You know, she was with the people that ministered to her. And then the king, he decided, well, I'm just going to bring my queen in and show her off.
That's right.
Well, more and more alcohol, more and more drinks. And she said, I am not going to do that. I'm not going to go in there and be paraded around. So I would say she was an honorable woman.
And make a
woman.
Display for the king, yeah.
That's right. And make a display for the king.
That's right.
Because it says here that there was wine. Verse 7 says there was wine in abundance.
Chapter 1, right, honey?
Wine in abundance.
Right.
So you drink a lot of wine. Well, I'll tell you, we like wine. We like the new wine.
That's right.
We like the wine of the Holy Ghost.
No hangover with that one.
No hangover, no drunken stupor, no vomiting.
No, we
want the wine of the Holy Ghost.
Hallelujah.
That's the wine that Jesus gave. Amen.
That's right.
And he said, we will drink that again with him in the kingdom.
Hallelujah.
But they had the strong stuff, and, you know,
they got drunk.
She wasn't going to walk on. She was not going to be put into that place.
Prayed herself
they
around.
Wanted to, it says in here, they wanted to bring Vashti, the queen, before the king with a royal crown to show the people and the princess her beauty,
mm-hmm.
for she was fair to look on.
Beautiful
but
woman.
The queen Vashti, she refused. Well, you know, we need to refuse some things, don't we? In our day and hour, we need to stand up for righteousness.
Sure do.
She, you know, it doesn't say righteousness here, but, you know, we need to stand up for righteousness. I would say that this was a righteous thing. But the queen, she refused to come to the king's command by his chamberlains.
That's right.
Therefore, was the king very wroth. He was very angry. I mean, he was embarrassed, you know. He was embarrassed.
Right.
Plus, he was probably a little too much wine,
mm-hmm.
you know. You don't always make the right choices when
sure
you have...
Don't.
The wrong wine, you know, mm-hmm. when you have the Holy Ghost wine, you're gonna hear from the Lord, and you're gonna make the right choices. You'll do what the Lord says, because the Holy Ghost wine, that will lead you into all truth. You know,
Amen.
Jesus said it's gonna bring us into all truth.
All truth.
So the king, he was wroth, he was angry, I'd say, and his anger burnt in him. Well, he was very angry.
Yeah,
he was extremely angry.
That's right. He wanted to show her off.
That's right, because then the king said to the wise men, you know, he had wise men, which knew the times. They didn't really know the times very well, did they?
Nope.
Uh-huh. For so was the king's manner towards all that knew the law and judgment. And so, of course, I'm not going to read all this, but they said, well, you know, let's just, you're going to have to, so we don't become embarrassed as well. And our wives don't go do the same thing that Vashti's doing.
Yeah.
She was setting an example.
That's right.
And, you know, we need to set examples, don't we?
Yeah, the ladies do, don't
and
they?
And she wasn't afraid of what might happen. That's just right. Like Esther. She said, if I die, I die. Right. See, God had a purpose for Vashti to be to make this choice, to make the right choice, so that God could put
Esther in place.
Uh-huh.
That's right.
Esther in place, who made the right choice for her.
And her nation, yeah.
Her nation. So Vashti made the right choice for the women in her kingdom.
That's right.
To say, you know, I'm not going to be abused. I'm not going to be paraded around. You know,
That's right.
So anyway, so she lost her place as being the queen. And then they had to go around and looking for another one. Of course, we know that God, in his foreknowledge, he had Esther.
Already planned.
And even the name that she would have, because Esther wasn't her real name.
That's right. Hadassah is
her real name.
So she had a destiny, didn't she?
She had a purpose. She had a destiny and a purpose. And, you know, she was still over there. She could have gone back to Israel.
Yeah.
You know, but she was there with, because her parents had actually died. She didn't have her parents.
Yeah.
So she was living with family, relatives. And was it her uncle?
Well, Mordecai was her cousin.
Cousin?
Yeah. He raised her as a daughter.
He raised her as a daughter, and he's the one that said, don't reveal who you are.
That's right.
See?
Keep it a secret.
And he said, you know, change your name. Your name's going to be, you tell them who you are. You're Esther.
Yeah.
And so she did. She listened to her uncle, and she did, or her cousin, I think. And anyways, and they worked together as a team. Yes,
yeah.
I like that so well.
It's okay.
Yeah. That they work together as a team.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry. Amen.
The water's out there.
Praise the Lord. So she listened to him. Of course, things didn't get better. Things started getting worse.
And the sad thing, Donna, was the king listened to all his leaders. And they said, well, you can't let this go by and not have do anything about it. Because all the women will want to rebel against their husbands and what they tell them to do.
That's
you know?
Right. That's
and so that was a lie too, wasn't it? Yeah.
That's right. So we need to be we need to make the right choices. Whether
sure
we're going to lose a position, well, we can look at this today. You know,
yeah.
In your workplace or in your church or your family, you know, you're going to lose a position. You might lose a position
when you
live a righteous life.
Amen.
When you choose to make the right choices. Well, some people say, well, she made the wrong choice. She, you know, what was the big deal? She could just have to walk in there and walk out. No, it was the principle of
That's
the
right.
matter. It was the principle. And she stood on her principles. And we need to do that, too. We need to have a righteous standard. You know, we need that's what the name of this radio broadcast is, Raising the Standard.
That's right.
And we are to raise the standard in our lives. And what is it? When we raise the standard, then we are an example to first our family.
That's right.
And our you know, our family and our friends and the people mm-hmm. we work with. And so she made a good choice. And a lot of people leave her out. But I think that had she not done what she did, then, you know, it wouldn't have put Esther in the place to do the work that she needed to do for her family.
Sure.
And like you said, you know, God isn't mentioned in any of these places.
Not one time.
And even Haman, you know, we didn't talk much about him, but Haman, his generation should have been
annihilated a long time ago.
But it wasn't because a king
disobeyed
king,
God.
Disobeyed God.
That's
king
right.
Saul
mm-hmm.
disobeyed God, and because King Saul disobeyed God, he also lost his kingdom.
He lost it. That's right.
He was taken,
and
he was removed.
It was given to David.
That was given to David,
mm-hmm.
and Samuel spoke over him.
That's right.
You know, and of course, and he never repented.
Nope.
He never really repented, but he disobeyed. If he would have obeyed what the prophet had told him, when they had the battle with these, Agagites. When they had the battle with the Agagites, they were supposed to destroy
all of them,
including
King Agag.
And they didn't.
They didn't do that. And so Haman's from his ancestry.
So he was maybe a child at that time. But anyways, he came up from that line. And see, that evil spirit was in that line. To hate the Jews.
Yeah.
It's still there.
Yeah.
It was there even before Haman. But Haman, he was supposed to at that time annihilate all of the Agagites. But he was disobedient, and he didn't do it.
But he wasn't a young man at that time, because that happened way back. But it went down from
generation to generation.
And the Agagites were a thorn in Israel's side
of
that.
And they still are.
Right.
And so here we have...
Spirit's still going on, yeah.
Here we have This, but you know, I really believe that the blood, we know the bloodline where we come from, the Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You know, we know the bloodline is carried on, and the spirit as well. But but God has this awesome plan. You know, once He starts something, He doesn't just, you know, when there's an evil spirit and it hasn't been dealt with, it's going to come up again.
Sure.
And I think about, you know, people come call us and they want deliverance.
Yeah.
People need deliverance. Well, we all need deliverance from some things, but some things that we need deliverance from are some of our generational curses.
We need to look back and see what was going on.
And
right.
So this is what you would call a generational curse.
That's
this
right.
Curse followed the bloodline.
Sure did.
So it follows the bloodline. And so when there's hate, say there's hate in one generation, and the next generation not, but then the next generation not, and the next generation, there's that hate again, because hate is a spirit. Well, sometimes it goes to the fourth generation. As the Bible says that.
Yep.
So it carries on. You see, it's always carrying on, and so here we have this, and the hate now has grown so huge. It's so huge.
Yep.
That he has a plan. Haman has a plan
to kill all the Jews.
To destroy all the Jews, every
right.
one of them. He
in
wanted
the Persian
to kill
Empire.
Every one of them, and so
yep.
he had a plan, and he manipulated the king.
Yeah.
He manipulated the king.
He tricked the king, in other words.
We're talking about the last days.
Mm-hmm.
He had 10 sons. Well, what's going to happen in these last days? They're already here. Those 10 nations are already in place. It's already in place. And God is just bringing it down into exactly the way it's
yep.
going to be. And we'll see at the end, we'll see that everything that God says in His Word, that's why we can know in His Word, is He's faithful and true.
Amen.
You know, everything He says in His Word is going to be fulfilled, it's going to be accomplished.
That's
so
right.
So those 10 nations, just like those 10 sons were there, those 10 nations are in place, I believe, right now. And, you know, God is just bringing it all together for the climax of what's going to happen in the very last days. So there was a big battle here.
Sure was.
But and you know, God, the king, there's a picture of God in this story.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah. Ahasuerus is a picture of God the Father, you know. And Esther was what? A picture of Jesus. You
Which
see
is
that
the
we
king.
Just saw that in Esther 5:1, yeah,
right.
The king, yeah.
So
patterns.
So here we have this pattern,
mm-hmm.
and so even because there was a decree made, you know, he couldn't, because it had already been, once a decree has been decreed.
With the Persian, couldn't change it.
Can't change it.
No. Nope.
Can't change it.
That's
so
right.
There had to be another decree made so that they could fight the battle. Well, God set up an order with Moses, didn't he?
Sure did.
But then someone very special, God's son, came along, and it was changed. Things were changed. Now we're born again. It's still by faith, but it's by the work that God sent His Son to do. That He died on the cross and He shed His blood, that we might have come into the kingdom, and that we might have the power and authority over the works of the devil
and the righteousness of God.
And the righteousness of God
to us. Yeah.
So just like the Lord, the Father sent His Son, so the king allowed another decree to be made so that they could go out and battle.
That was not the second banquet, was it? Yeah.
At the second.
Yeah.
So they were able to write another decree, and they were able to defend themselves.
Oh, thank you, Lord.
Well, God has given us the blood of Yeshua.
Right? Thank
Hallelujah.
You, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus. So here's that's parallel yes, also. If you if you think about it and you look how
that's
God
right.
works through His Word from the beginning to the end. God always has an answer. So God had an answer, and He had a plan of deliverance for the Jewish people. Well, God also had an answer and a plan of deliverance for me and for you and for everyone who's listening and for anyone in the world if they would just ask Jesus into their heart.
That's right. It's
Amen.
Wonderful.
So it's awesome. So they had to battle. Some Christians feel like they just don't have any. They don't have to battle. Well, we do have angels. We can call on the angels, and we do have angels. And we read about that in prayer over there in Isaiah, where there was 185,000 angels, one angel, killed 185,000 of the enemy, one angel.
Mm-hmm.
So God's angels are powerful.
But He expects us to do something,
but,
doesn't He?
Yes, He says our battle, we have warfare.
That's right.
And our warfare is not carnal. Well, you need to read Ephesians chapter 6. That we are to, they had to go out in battle, even in Esther's day. And and they had to pray and fast. That's right. Also, you know, all these are examples of what we should be doing.
And God worked on their behalf as they prayed, yeah.
As they prayed and they fast and they, you know, they cried out to the Lord and
defended
and
themselves.
Mordecai was not afraid or embarrassed to be in front of the king's gate
in sackcloth and ashes, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, right. He wasn't supposed to be there.
It was against the law.
And he did things for the king that the king didn't even remember or know about.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't even talk about that.
Yeah.
But it's in the book. It's in the book of Esther. And so when he found out, he honored him. He honored Mordecai by putting his own clothing on him and having him walk through the streets.
Gave him his ring.
Right, gave him a ring. And, mm-hmm. you know, even at the very end, he gives him his house and ring and authority. I mean, you know, it's just
wonderful.
Awesome how God will give. God has given us authority.
He says
he has given us power and authority. What? Over what? All.
Not some.
All
the power.
Of works of the enemy.
That's right.
And not just the pastors or the preachers or the prophets.
Everybody.
No, everyone. Because now he says we are what? Priests and kings.
Kings.
It says that in the Bible. We are priests and
kings.
And kings.
A double whammy, yeah.
So, you know, Mordecai may not have looked like a priest or a king.
Yeah.
But, you know, they say, well, you can't go by how somebody looks.
God exalted him, didn't he?
That's right. God exalted him. And he may have been an sackcloth and ashes at one time, but in the end he was in his royal robes. Well, what are we going to be in the end? We're
going
to have royal righteous
just
robes.
Like when Esther stood before
Christ.
The king there in chapter 5 verse 1, she was in her royal robes. Okay, we're going to be there also someday.
And she wasn't afraid. It's another picture. She wasn't afraid to go before the king. See, she hadn't been before the king in 30 days. He hadn't invited her before him.
That's right.
30 days, you know, that's a whole month. 30 days is a month in the Hebrew calendar. So 30 days she hadn't been invited, but she was not afraid to go before him. And you know, we can go before the king.
Anytime.
Anytime,
hallelujah.
Because the veil has been
ripped
and torn in pieces.
Bottom.
You see all these parallel lines, and even in my Bible, you see this line down here. And as we go through the Bible, you're going to see the lines, and you're going to see how God just works throughout the Bible to bring us truth. And to, not just to tell us the story or the happening of what happened back here with Esther and Mordecai, but to tell us that he is still working in men's hearts today.
He sure is. Thank
He's
you,
still
Lord.
Working. He's still allowing the devil to work.
That's right.
He said he's given us power and authority.
Amen.
You know, the devil's not going to be locked up until after.
That's right.
And even then, he's not going to be put in the lake of fire.
Nope.
That's going to be for another 1,000 years.
He's going to be let out again.
Where there's going to be peace on the earth, and it says to the lamb, and you know, all the animals will have
lie down with the wolf.
We'll be friendly. You know, all the animals. There won't be any wars in the jungle.
Yeah.
But then he's going to be allowed out at the very end of that 1,000 years, and that's when he'll go into the lake of fire.
That's right.
So why does God allow the enemy to do so much damage, because
checking our hearts.
He wants to see. That's exactly it.
Checking
our hearts, and letting us know that if we will follow him, if we'll do what's right, then you know he will exalt us in due time.
That's right.
And that we will have victory over the powers of darkness.
Absolutely.
So what is this whole book is to show us that. You know, God is still working, and he's not, you know, he loves us so much.
And the authority that God's people have.
And that he loves the Jewish people.
That's right, he sure does.
And now we can see the Jewish people are back in their land.
Right.
A lot of them are. But still, yet there are a lot, many are dispersed throughout the nations, but they're coming back.
They're coming.
Many are making aliyah to Israel. Well, you're going to say,
France.
Where are they going to put them all? Well, you know.
Benjamin said, bring them on.
We'll
make room. He says, bring them on.
And the enemy says, well, sure, bring them all there. It'll be easier to get rid of them all at the same time. Well, you know what? God's not going to allow that to happen.
Never happen.
Now, people might say, well, you know, there's not much defense there. Well, the Bible says that God is our defense.
That's right.
And he gives people wisdom, and he gives them. See, he gave Mordecai wisdom, and he gave Esther wisdom, and he gave them a choice, and they followed God. So if we waver in our own lives and we don't follow God, then we're gonna lose out. We're gonna lose some battles.
So we need to pray for Benjamin Netanyahu at this time.
Yes.
Because there's elections coming up on the 17th that God put him back in office, and he's an incredible man of God. So we need to do that. But I think about the book of Esther. You know, we concluded with that. It brings you over to Daniel chapter 12 and all, and the whole thing, the timing and all, is showing also not only the time that Jesus came out of the grave, but also he's showing us in the future when the great tribulation, the last 3.5 years, is going to be revealed. It's right there in Daniel chapter 12. It's going to start at mid-trib, which is going to be the Passover season.
Right.
Hallelujah.
And some people are teaching that tribulation is going to start this spring, that time.
Yep.
But that's going to start mid-trib. So
that's
you
right.
got to think about it. There's 7 years.
The great tribulation comes.
7 years. Mid-trib is 3.5 years.
That's right.
So the actual beginning of the tribulation will be in the fall.
That's right.
In the fall.
See, no, not the beginning.
The very, very beginning of the tribulation. Yes.
Yeah, when we are caught away, yeah.
Yes, okay, we'll begin. We'll be in the fall.
You're right.
But mid-tribulation, which is 3.5 years into the tribulation, will be at Passover.
Passover is when it's going to start for the last 3.5 years. You're absolutely right, honey.
That's right.
So we got to look up, don't we?
Amen.
But we have a God that loves us, and we serve him. We're not some bond slave. We're servants of the Most High God, and if we listen to him and follow his word, well, we're going to be taken care of some way or somehow. And we do have that authority that God's given us. And so we need to walk into the fullness of that. Just like Esther and Mordecai, you know. They weren't going to give it up. They weren't. Esther said, well, I'm going to go before the king. If I die, I die. And Mordecai was in the gate in sackcloth and ashes. And that was against the law in the Persian Empire. But he sat there and wailed and cried out because he knew what was going to come. And so it's incredible when we look at that.
Read the book of Esther.
Read it, yeah.
It will be a blessing. But, you know, ask the Lord to show you. Open your eyes, give you prophetic things about it, because we didn't even talk about some of the things that happened during the battle and all, but it was pretty neat, pretty awesome. You know, God put them on display.
One good thing, though, they did, they would not touch the spoil from the Persians that they conquered, because Saul was told not to touch the spoil against the Agagites, and he did it. And so they would not touch the spoil.
That's right. God is more than enough. Amen.
That's right.
Well, I just want to mention we have Purim this afternoon. If you'd like to come, it's going to be at 5 o'clock.
Yeah.
We'll have a meal, and it's going to be for a couple of hours. I also want to mention that we have services on Sunday at 10. We have a meeting with God, and we also have every Friday night we have a Shabbat service at 7 p.m. Mm-hmm. I wanted to mention that following week, on the 14th and the 15th, week 15th, we will have Dr. Bree Keaton. It'll be at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, a conference with her, a teaching on the glory of God.
Hallelujah.
And,
on Saturday.
On Saturday, and also on the 15th, that's Dr. Bree Keaton.
At 10 a.m.?
At 10. Push. And then, wanted to mention also, you might want to mark down, if you want a calendar, give us a call, send us the self-addressed stamped envelope, and we'll be glad to send you one. And also, remember that the Passover Seder will be on April the 4th at 5 o'clock again. And we need to RSVP if you'd like to come to that, because we always have, you know.
And there's no charge for it. It's free. We just put a basket out, and whatever God tells you to put in there about the meal, you put it in there, God will bless you, and also the Seder.
Both Seders you go to, you can't get in for less than $40.
That's right.
A plate.
Per person.
And, we teach, and it's really an awesome time. Well, this is Pastor Gene and Donna Hilton. We're blessed to be with you. Come visit us. Amen. And the phone number here is area code 772-285-7007. I'll repeat that, area code 772-285-7007.
So as we close this program, we tell you every week to look up.
Look up.
Because your redemption draweth nigh. And as we close, what do we say, Pastor Donna?
Shabbat shalom, Sabbath peace and rest.
We are
I trust that this time with you today has been informative and uplifting. I look forward to speaking to you again next week at this same time. May the God of peace rule and reign in your hearts and lives, and remember that Jesus is Lord and that He is the Spirit of prophecy.